And listening to Minister Mokey and even Elder Dave, I just got excited. More excited. I mean, it's just wonderful. And to know what God is about to do in our lives. I mean, saints, it's exciting. That's all I can say. And I am thankful. And I want us to be able to release and receive all that God wants to release in our lives. Yes. Are you ready to receive?
Amen.
So it's starting with living the life of praise. And last time we were together, I was talking about praise and a time of praise, life of praise. So I said, okay, living a life of praise. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yes.
And then the pastor, he said, I need you to speak for me on Sunday. I said, well, that comes as no surprise. The Lord already gave me the title on the way home Friday night. So I knew, I just had to laugh when he said that because the Lord had already told me. And he does not let anything come on us unawares. And for that, I say thankful. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, living a life of praise, having a lifestyle of praise, it that lifestyle or living that life of praise is letting the Lord know, I believe you, God. I believe your word. I accept your word. I receive your word. I am standing on your word. When you live a life of praise. When you begin to praise God in everything, and we learned that from our father, from a child.
Right.
I mean, whatever happens, say, well, praise the Lord.
That's right.
Not, I mean, to see we've never seen our father shaken with no matter what.
Right.
All the years that I was on the planet with him, and all the years he was on the planet after he got saved, nothing shook him. He said, well, thank the Lord.
That's right.
So, you know, he lived a life of praise. And, you know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. And I'm excited. You'll have me for the next 2 weeks, so I'm excited about what the Lord wants to do. But in living a life of praise, what the Lord wants us to do is in everything give thanks. So go with me to Psalms 34, 1-4. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears.
Yes.
So here David had some serious situations going on. Sometimes I think David was bipolar because one time he's happy, next time he's down. Or he's up and he's down. I mean, David was all over the place. But here he was pretty good. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. He says his praise shall continually. So he learned this secret. Because we get to the point, sometimes we praise the Lord, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we think everything's going to be all right and God's going to make it, God's going to do it for us, and then we're down in the dumps, so, oh, maybe it's not going to happen. But, you know, living a life of praise is praising the Lord all the time, being constantly, consistently the same all the time, living a life of praise. And David said, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it because when I begin to praise the Lord, he delivers.
Yes.
So if we're in need of a deliverance, the answer is right here. I will bless. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalms 9:14 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high.
Yes.
When, not if, but when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest on thy throne judging right. How do we get that to happen? How did David, you know, when he's talking about, how did that happen? He said, I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart. I'm going to, with all that is within me, I am going to praise the Lord. Yes, there are situations that are going to come up in your life, but David said, I'm just going to praise the Lord with my whole heart. With everything that is within me, I'm going to praise the Lord. No matter what, because he said, if I continue to praise the Lord, my enemies have got to turn. They've got to run. They got to go. Didn't say if, but said when. They will turn. They got to run. They got to go. If I can keep the praises of God going on in my life. So we have to live a life of praise. Because when we praise God, God deals with our enemies. He takes care of the situation. I was listening to Minister Mook, and she just blessed me. You know, God, take care of that. You handle that one for me. You got that. Why? Because he said he did. He said, I've given you, whatever it is, I've already given it to you. So our job is to get to the place where we can get it from heaven to us on earth. And how is that? By praising the name of the Lord. You won't have to fight your battles because God will take care of them for you. You know, when your family members or people in your job, whatever, acting silly, acting crazy, say, I'm giving this to the Lord. Lord, I bless your name. I glorify your name. I honor you because I know you got this already taken care of. Situations in our life, they come to destroy you. But the Lord said, no, when they come, I'm going to turn it around for your good. So no matter what, the Lord's got us covered. He's got us covered when we learn the key to praising the Lord, living a life of praise. You know, God wants to get involved in all of our situations. But he is, and I've said it for years, he is a perfect gentleman. The Lord will not bogart his way into your life. He will let you go and run and run and run until you run out. And he's not going to stop you. He's a perfect gentleman, which means when you invite him in, when you finally run to the end of yourself and can't run anymore and say, Lord, I give up. He said, well, I've been waiting for you to get to that place where you now take it out of your hands, put it in my hands, because I can carry it. I can shoulder the load, whatever it is, I can do it. So he said, I didn't make you beast of burdens. He said, I want you to cast it. Yes. So our job is to cast the cares, to cast the burdens, whatever it is, because God wants us to praise. You know, you praise God for everything that he's done in your life. You know, sometimes you just need to just sit down and think about all that God has done. All that, you know, Lord, I thank you for my job. It may not be the best job in the world. They might work your last nerve. Lord, I thank you for my job. Those looking for a job, Lord, I thank you for my job. It's the same thing. I thank you for my job, whether you have one or whether you don't. Lord, I thank you for my job. I'll bless your name. Why? Because I'm turning this over to you and knowing that you are going to make everything turn out right for me. Lord, I thank you for my house. I thank you for my car. It may not be the newest car on the block, but Lord, it's mine. I thank you. I bless your name. I thank you for my family. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. Whatever God has given you, Lord, I thank you. Take the time just to thank the Lord for the things that he has done. Hallelujah. You know, can we take the time to praise God? You know, we usually can't praise him when things are going really good, you know. We're feeling good. We're fine. Everything's good. You know, you got money in the bank. You got money in your pocket. There's no aches and pain about your body. I mean, everything's just going pretty good. You can praise the Lord, but when can you praise him? When you're not feeling as good as you want to. Yes. Can you praise him when you look at your wallet and it's, you know, those tumbleweeds flying through it because it's nothing but dust. I mean, it's just nothing there. Can you praise him at that time? When, you know, you come home and everything is just a mess and, you know, you can't find peace or quiet, nothing. Can you praise him then? Can you praise him when your boss is working on your last nerve? And the employees do too. Can you praise the Lord at that time? Yeah, still in the hand of the enemy, but we got to do what he says. Can you praise God when there's a failed relationship? Can you praise God when there's problems in the family? Can you praise God when he straightens everything out? Yeah, we in every situation, we will invoke the presence of the Lord and begin to praise God because he is going to work it out. Psalms 8 and 12 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who have set thy glory above the heavens. Says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger.
Yes.
Why? Because out of the mouths of babes is perfect praise.
Yes.
And that's what he wants from us. Perfect praise to God. Lord, I bless you. I magnify your name. Lord, I love you. I thank you that I'm already healed. I thank you for the prosperity. Lord, I bless your name for the abundance. Whatever it is that you're standing for. Lord, I thank you for the peace of my job. Father, I glorify you for the peace in my home. I thank you for what you're doing in my children's life. Taking that time to praise the Lord. Why? Because praise will stop the enemy. He will stop, arrest him when we begin to praise God. That's what we have to do. Our adversaries are challenging us day by day, but we have to praise God. We have to use that vital weapon in warfare against Satan, and that is praise. That's glorifying God, lifting him up. Hallelujah. And when you begin to praise God, things start changing. Situations start changing. People start changing because the Lord is getting, you now have allowed him access into the situations in your life. Like I said before, he's not going to bogart his way in your life. But when you open up that door, we say, Lord, I give it to you. I'm giving it to you now. I'm done. You know, sometimes you've been fed up with, I'm just a gentleman, I'm done with this situation, and I'm done with you. Take your hands off. That's what the Lord wants. Get your hands off of this situation. Quit dogging them out. Let them go. Let me deal with them. But as long as our hands are on them, he's not going to be involved. If you're working, he's resting. If you're working about this situation, God is resting. But if you want God to work, you're going to have to rest. He's not going to be in competition with you. So you working, trying to fix it, working, trying to fix it, working, trying to fix it. He's okay, I'll rest. When you've had enough, when you want to enter the vote, and say, well, I'm giving to you, Lord. When you rest, then the Lord can go to work. So I think, I'm just saying this now, but I think we should let God do the work. You know, he told me one time, he said, Dora, I need you to take your hands off of the situation and let me be God.
Yes.
He said, you let me be God in this situation. You stop trying to be God to everybody in every situation. And, you know, I try to fix everybody's problems, every situation, whatever, you know, and it was running me in the hole. It was absolutely running me in the hole. And he said, now I need you to stop. You stop being God. Because I said, hey, take my charge card and you fix whatever needs to be fixed. I did that so much that I maxed out all my cards. Trying to help somebody else. I said, well, Lord, I was doing good. I was trying to help you. People said, no, I didn't tell you to be God.
Right.
Now you got all that interest to pay on all this situation. And they going on about their business, not even thinking about, oh, I'll pay you. And lies they tell.
Right.
He said, now I'm stuck with the bill and all this extra interest. He said, let me be God.
Yes.
I learned that lesson. It was a hard lesson to learn, but I learned it. So I'm doing better with that. So things that you want to accomplish, you know, problems, situations, you're ready for a turnaround, it's time for the Lord to get involved. Because he's given us a promise that he is going to do something extraordinary for us. But we have to be in the position to receive it. For one, if we're not expecting it, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. And the Lord has given us all types of promises. But if we don't expect it, if we don't get in the position to receive that, it's not coming our way.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you have all these dreams and aspirations and things that you want and you desire, and don't seem like it's working. You look around, don't have the funds you need. You know, some people get a doctor's report that's not very helpful. You know, it's not the things that you want to hear. And people get discouraged. And, you know, you're trying, and you say, Lord, when is it going to happen? Lord, when is it going to happen? Lord, when is it going to happen? And, you know, that's weariness. And I'm going to talk about that hopefully next week. When people get to the place where they're just weary because they've been waiting and waiting and waiting, seeing like, Lord, when is this going to happen? And they get discouraged. And here in this chapter, in Numbers 21, the children of Israel, first I'm going to give you an overview in chapter 20. The children of Israel, you know, they came out of Egypt, and they was you know, going from place to place, and they was fighting every everywhere they had to go, they had to fight. You know, some people, some kids, they fight every day. They just got to fight their way. Well, that's what the Israelites did. They had to fight their way through everything. And they started getting weary because, you know, they want to go, you know, from trying to get to Canaan land, and, you know, and they had to go through all these other territories, and the kings were not being helpful. And, you know, Moses sent them, you know, little messengers saying, can we pass through your land? We just want to pass through your land. We're not going to touch your water, your vines, your grape, nothing. We're not touching. All we just want to do is march through your land. And the kings said, no, I'm not going to allow you to march through my land. So they had to go all the way around the neighborhood barn to get to where they had to go. So, you know, the Lord said, don't fight this one. So they didn't fight them because, you know, they wanted to. He said, no, just going around. But being they had to go around, you know, they got tired. You know, they had to go through the Red Sea and try and get here and there. And everywhere else they went, they was fighting. So they get there. You brought us out of Egypt. We could have stayed in Egypt and done worse than what we are here doing now. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough water. We tired of this manna that keeps falling down. We tired of this stuff. We want something else. Yeah. They wanted something else. And they started talking against Moses and grumbling and complaining. And the Lord sends a serpent and kill him. Serpents came in the camp and started biting people. They were dropping left and right because of complaining. See, complaining is not a good thing. God does not like complaining. So they were crying out to Moses, please save us, help us, tell God we're sorry and all this stuff. So the Lord said, okay, you're going to lift up this gold serpent when you see it. If they wanted to live, some of them died because they were too stubborn. But that's beside the point. But anyway, they're going through all these things. And the children of Israel, I mean, all of the folks, the cattle, the kids, the wives, and everybody else trying to get to this promised land. And they're having a hard time. So then they get to chapter 21, wasn't there a chapter for them, but, you know, and time's gone by, and there's another king. They're going through another land, and this king said no. The second king said no. You're not going to pass through. So they said, as a matter of fact, they came out to fight them. So Moses said, okay, Lord, what do we do about this? What are we going to do? Take care of it. He said, destroy everything. Kill them all. Now, the first king got, the Lord spared him, gave him mercy. The second king, because he came out so bad, said, look, he thought, well, the first time they skated by, so maybe I can, flex my muscles or whatever. Destroyed them all. So everybody in the land, kings, everybody was all destroyed. So they kept on marching. And, you know, they're tired. They're tired of fighting. They're thirsty. Lord, we need help out here in this wilderness. So getting back, I wanted to flash you through these chapter 20 and 21. So they get here, and they are thirsty in the desert. So you know if they're in the desert, there is no water. Desert means dry land, no water. But the Lord, let me get where I need to be. Numbers 21, 16, and 17. They were hot, they were thirsty, they were tired. Numbers 21, verses 16 and 17. And from thence they were to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. See, they were in the desert. They're tired. I mean, you got all these folks, then you got animals got to be fed, and there's no water. You're in the desert. But here the Lord gave him a promise. He said, I will give them water. And 70 says, then the children of Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. So the Lord said, I'm going to give you water. He gave them a promise. The promise is, I got your back. I'm giving you water. So they go to this well. They say, God said we're going to get water. And they get to the well. The well is dry as dust. There's dirt. There's rocks. There's debris all in the bottom of this well, but no water. Now here, I need you to watch the principle that's going on here. They had this real opportunity to fall out and faint because God didn't give them the water. They got to the well and the well was dry. The well was so old it hadn't been used in years. So it wasn't even like mud at the bottom of the well. It was dry, dry, drier. And all they could see around them is sand, sand, and more sand. And they're hot because they're in the desert. They're tired because they've been fighting from territory to territory just to march on through. They've been fighting, trying to get through and get to the place where the Lord said, you take them. He said, gather them around the well. So they showing up, man, we going to get some water now. All of us going to get some water. This well going to take it. And I'm thinking about that. All the millions of people that was with Moses coming out of Egypt. I said, how in the world is one well going to take care of all of those people and all of those animals to suffice them enough? And if they had camels, you know how much water camels drink? Lord. One camel. And if they had camels, trying to fill up those humps, that's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And they get there expecting, excited about, we're going to get some water. And it's dry as dust. You know, the Lord gives us promises. He's given us promises. And it just seemed like, Lord, we in the desert here. I know what you said. I believe your word. But we in the desert. Looked at my bank account. It's in the red. I'm in the desert. I know what your promise is to me. You said I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail. But I'm here in the desert. Situations going on in your life. And is this just not what I was told? Lord, you said you were going to do this for me. What's the problem? All the promises to God and his word said they are yes and amen. But they do not happen automatically. That's the thing. And we, as human beings in the society that we're living in, we're in the microwave era. So we want it, and we want it now. That's the thing. They wanted it, and they needed it because they were thirsty. I mean, I can't even imagine how they felt. I can't imagine what they would have said had they not shut their mouths and just do or did what the Lord told them to do. So the scripture says, then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Rushing to get to that well, dry as dust, here is another disappointment. Here's another time I want an answer to this situation, and it's dry as dust. Lord, my God, what am I going to do now? I went and applied for a loan. They turned me down. I went for this. They turned me down. Went for the job. They did not. What am I going to do now? Desert. Disappointment. I said they were discouraged. Let me see. They were discouraged. I want to see if I have. Man, I gotta find that verse. They were very discouraged, disheartened, and upset, impatient because they wanted it right now, and it didn't happen right there. They got there, the Lord. But see the thing, they had the promise. I'm going to give you water. We have the promise from the Lord. What you know? What, by the stripes that Jesus bore, we're already here. We got that promise. Whatever the promise is that you're standing on. Satan's job is to get you to fall off of that promise. His job is to get you to where you're in desert mode, where you're now discouraged because you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and it's not happening. Lord, I'm tired. You said it's going to happen. When's it going to happen? And then he gets you in the desert mode of complaining. Then you're in complaining and then the snakes come. Situations start biting you from here, biting you from there, and biting you from there. Why? Because you are complaining and not living a life of praise. But the Lord said, sing. They sang this song, spring up, yes. Oh well. Now, in the natural, and people say, oh, they have lost their mind. Now they're standing around a dry, empty well, and they sing into the well. Spring up, oh well, spring up. Lord, we thank you for the water you said is ours. You said we have water in the desert. Spring up, oh well, spring up. And they kept singing that praise. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, spring up. Spring up health. Spring up prosperity. Spring up abundance. Spring up peace of mind. Spring up, oh well. Yes. They begin to sing that song over and over again. What are they doing? They're praising God. Lord, I thank you. You said we have water in the desert. You're going to give us water. Make streams. You would make streams in the desert. Yes. That's what he said. And what did they do? Spring up, oh well. Yes. Situations happening. Spring up, oh well.
Yes.
Spring up, oh healing. Spring up deliverance right now. Spring it up. Hallelujah. Bring it forth. Lord, you said it's mine. I thank you for it. They begin to praise God over and over and over and over. They praise God so much. Suddenly, there was a gush of water overflowing and shooting out of this dry, dusty well. Shooting out until there was rivers, streams of water running in the desert.
Yes.
But what they had the promise,
yeah.
But they had to do something with the promise.
That's right.
We as saints of God have to do something with our promise. You're going to have to speak it. Hallelujah. Sing out.
Yes.
Sing out. Sing to the promise. The promise said, I'm healed. Sing to the promise. Spring up healing, hallelujah. Spring up deliverance is mine. I am singing to the promise. Whatever the promise is, sing to the promise. What's been happening, we've been complaining about the problem, but not singing to the promise. And that water started to gush out over everywhere. There was water in the desert because they started doing what the Lord said. Instead of complaining, they began to sing. They began to praise. They began to make declarations. What are you doing about your situations? What are you saying about your problems? Are you singing to the promise? Or are you complaining about the problem? Our job is to get to the place where I believe the word of God. Lord, what you said, I'm going to sing that promise. I'm going to bless your name because you said you are Lord God that heals. I sing to the promise and I spring up healing. Spring up deliverance. Spring up promotion. Oh, spring, whatever it is, you speak and sing to the promise. What the Lord said is for you is yours. It's not going to fall onto you like ripe apples off a tree. You're going to have to begin to speak that word. You're going to begin to live a life of praise to God and thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. You said I am to be the head and not the tail. You said I am to be above only and not beneath. I sing it to the promise. Spring up, oh abundance. Spring up, Rhema. Spring up, building. Spring up, members. Oh, spring up, spring up, spring up. And you know, the Lord, he told me this yesterday. And I said, wow, I couldn't believe it because he told me. But you know, he was saying, you know, if you're going to sing to the promise, you're going to have to speak the word. You're going to have to call in what it is that you want. And he said, you guys stop that. I said, what do you mean, Lord? You should remember, when we had our prayer time, when corporate prayer, we did Saturday prayer, corporate prayer, Wednesday night Bible study, we had the prayer. And he said, at every service we prayed for the members. We prayed membership. We prayed for the members to come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We prayed for all the neighboring towns. We prayed for the state. We prayed for New Jersey and Philadelphia, praying that the members would come. We did it every service. every service. And when we prayed, as we were praying that every Sunday, the members, people were coming, people were coming, people were coming. And then we stopped praying that prayer. He said, who told you to stop praying that? Why? Because we stopped singing to the promise. I said, oh, my Lord. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He wasn't fussing at me. He was just saying, we were already speaking to the promise. We were already telling them to come. You are to come from the north. Every service, every prayer, every time we got together, we were calling in the vision. We were calling in the multitudes of people. He said, you stopped. I said, Lord God, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. I mean, because, you know, you say, well, we get a little progressive, so we change when we pray, and, you know, all this kind of, well, the progression is good, but if it's taken out what needs to be done, what needs to be said to get the job done, that's not progress. So I told him, I said, okay, Lord, we'll make that correction. And he was very quiet. He, you know, just started talking to me. And I said, Lord, thank you. Because we're going to constantly live a life of praise where we continue to bless the Lord, continue to call in. And you do the same. Call in what it is you're believing God for. He said, sing to the promise. That's what they had to do over and over and over again. They were singing to the well. And I know people thought they were crazy. Look at those nuts out there in the desert singing to an empty, dirty, dry well. But they kept singing and singing to the promise, kept singing and singing to the promise. And they sang, the scripture says, and they sang to the well. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. So what is it in your life you need to spring up? I need you to talk it over and over and over and over. Just don't say, okay, spring up abundance and let it go with that. No. All the time. When you look at your checkbook, when you look in your wallet, when you look at your children, when you look at whatever, spring up abundance in the name of Jesus. Spring up promotion. Spring up health. Hallelujah. Spring whatever it is. Spring it up, Lord. Spring it up, Lord. I thank you. And begin to thank God for his word, because his word is true. And when we begin to live that life of praise, we'll start to see things change in our favor, in our behalf, because we're singing to the promise. We're not looking at things that are impossible and thinking that, oh, this is so impossible, I don't know what I'm going to do. We're singing to the promise, singing to the word of God, and blessing the Lord and magnifying the Lord and thanking him, because his word is forever true.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like to support this ministry, consider giving online. Text keyword RWOLFC to 77977 or through our free app. Search R Wolf C in the App Store. For more information, visit www.rwolfc.com for articles, blog posts, message references, and our monthly calendar of events.